Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, it's good to be with you, and we welcome you this New Year's, another year that we could serve with the Lord Jesus Christ. This may be the year that he comes back to this planet and takes over this world, and the Bible promises this, and this is taught all the way through the Scripture. And so we thank the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well, and he is with us, and he makes these wonderful promises. So good to know him, so good to be a Christian. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he promises his peace, particularly through reading the Word of God. And he says, the Word of God is a lamp unto me, my feet, light unto my path. And he tells us we're not in the darkness anymore. We know why we're here. We know where we're going. And we know the God of this universe personally. And he has given us his words. And you know, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. For a Christian, he is living by every word that comes from God. That's his spiritual food. And you know, God not only speaks in Greek like he has in the past, or Aramaic, or some of these languages, but the Bible says that with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. And he has promised to speak in other languages besides the ones that he first gave the Bible to. With men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. And so you see at the day of Pentecost why they spake in the many different languages of the people, and the people heard them speak in their own languages. Pentecost was not a revival of Babel, but was a reversal of what took place at the Tower of Babel, because there the languages were confused and people couldn't understand when they were talking to one another. But at Pentecost, everybody understood very clearly what was being said. And so a miracle was taking place. And so God right there gave the languages, and so God said he would preserve the words, and God said that he would give the words to the other people, to the nations of the whole world. And the Bible says Israel in the first place was a light to the Gentiles, and so they were going to receive this light through the words of God, which would be then translated into their own languages. And so today we have the Word of God, and we have whatever the Bible says about the Word of God, it points like a laser to our authorized King James Bible. For instance, it says the Word of God is powerful. Well, all the great revivals have come through the authorized King James Bible, where it says the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And so it is the living Word of God. And though it's been attacked by 100 years, it's been attacked, and yet it continues to grow up until today. 5 billion copies have been distributed worldwide, and even translations made of it worldwide. And so the advertising continues to go for modern versions, and they sell for a little while, and then, of course, they just disappear because they were all dead. But this is the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And we mentioned that God tells us where his word is. He says that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so we can trace the true words of God in the church of the living God, the church where Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and where people preach his gospel, the gospel of the grace of God and salvation through faith in what Jesus did when he died on the cross and biblically rose from the dead. And we could trace the history of those churches right from the time of Christ, and they were the ones that brought us the true text that we have in the King James Bible. And there's many books that have detailed this and documented this. We try to let you know about them on our website. You know, another one I just handed, and I'd like you to get these books because so many of them are really excellent, outstanding. Here's another one. It's a good one. Which Bible? You Be the Judge by Michael W. Hoggard, Hoggard. And I've just been reading this. Prophetic Research Ministries, Festus, Missouri. And it's a interesting small book once again. And I thank God for the books. You know, we're by having this program, we're trying to challenge people to investigate this subject. And the Bible talks about people coming, wolves coming in sheep's clothing, and they got into the Greek departments in many of the schools, and they have twisted the thinking in the minds of so many people. But I just tell you to investigate. And you know, the word, we talk about ignorant, an ignorant person. The Bible talks about willful ignorance, and I understand many people that do not believe the King James. They refuse to read anything about this on this side of the issue. And yet the scripture is full of scripture verses, the point of the King James Bible. And Brother Al was just telling me the other day, he says, ignorance means to ignore. They will ignore anything or any program, any book that upholds the King James. But in reality, when you hear a Bible corrector, when he is doing this, many times when he is correcting the scripture verse, he doesn't give you the evidence for his correction. He says, "By who said this?" He never tells you that. He doesn't tell you what text he is using. He doesn't tell you the lexicon that is being used. And we have gone into this. We have gone into this subject in every conceivable detail. For instance, today I just review some of the things that we have gone over. For instance, we have talked about what Charles Spurgeon said about this, which he called the Bible correctors popelings, or what D.L. Moody, we've read what he said about it, and he was against it, the correction of the King James Bible. What Billy Sunday said, these people that attack the King the Bible, meaning the King James, they could go plumb to the devil. Talmage said that it was a perfect translation and so on. And we have said what they said. Then we talked about the documented evidence, the Greek manuscripts, and so on for it. For instance, we've gone into 1 John 5:7 and systematically taught that. And we mentioned the book by the author, Which Version is God's Word, by Floyd Nolan Jones, which gives documented evidence for the Greek manuscripts backing it up. And I was just thinking, you know, people say, well, about 1 John 5:7, and when they attack it, I could tell that they refuse to read anything contrary to what they were taught in school. And, you know, I was looking over some of the evidence, and this was referred to by Athanasius, who is the leading pastor at the Council of Nicaea in 325. And he wrote, I have some of his, one of his books, he wrote massively, and he refers to it. And then much earlier than Athanasius at the in 250 at the Council of Carthage, they were using it as a proof text way back then, and it wasn't challenged back then in 250. And we have gone over the evidence and proof, but so we have covered this subject from so many different angles, and these people that are against it, what are you to believe? You know, the Bible says that in one place it says, I trust in thy word. And we are to trust in God's word. Well, another place the scripture says that we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and then we're to trust in it. And it is to be a lamp to our feet and light. And the Bible says it is near thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. But these people say that it's somewhere, and they don't know where it is. Somewhere in the originals they talk about, but they don't have the originals. And and they don't, furthermore, they'll admit if you read the writings, they don't even know what the originals say, and they're correcting the King James. Well, we give the evidence that this is the preserved word of God. We have it today. God has blessed it more. God says, I've honored my word more than I've honored my word more than my name in the book of Psalms. And so this book has been more honored than any book that was ever written in the history of mankind. And people that don't believe that they have it today, we call them deists. They believe God gave it and then he just left it. Well, why would God just give his word perfect and then just leave it? Leave it to man to mess it up? Well, of course he hasn't done that. And thank God he has given it to us today. And we can base our life on it. We can base our soul on it. And, you know, this is such a stabilization. It has stabilized me. It has given me peace. It has given me joy. It has given me hope. It has given me everything. And it will give you the same thing. You know, if you're a Christian today or even a person that's not saved, if you would repent of your sin, ask God to forgive you, and call on Jesus Christ who paid for all your sins when he died on the cross, and ask for his mercy, he would give you eternal life. And then the Bible says you will find peace. That's contentment and joy by reading his word, which is the authorized King James Bible. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So I am so glad today that I know Jesus, and we have Brother Al with us today, and Brother Lloyd is here. I thank God for him, and we all of them know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've found peace and found joy through him. And you know, the wise men, they were wise because they sought after Jesus. And you find Jesus and you seek after Jesus, that's wisdom. I look at the people of the world, you know, they go through just the trouble that they get themselves into. It's just endless. I mean, endless trouble with the law, the trouble with their marriages, trouble with unhappiness, misery, drugs, and all of this stuff. That their life is so full of frustration and misery. And God wants to bring you peace. You know, the devil, he promises you all kinds of things, but he doesn't deliver. But millions of people know that the Lord Jesus Christ delivers. Well, I'm glad that Brother Al Davis is with us, and I'm going to ask him to read a few passages of Scripture today. We're going to talk about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, and we want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is called the Word of God, and we can have him speak to us. He speaks to us as we read his Word in the King James Bible.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and again, reminder to our listeners that you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can find past programs and some of the materials that Bruce references on the program all at whereisgodsword.com. Well, and certainly Happy New Year, and have a blessed New Year to everybody listening. We're in Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse number 6. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this."
All right, we'll take this verse apart, and it says, "Unto us a child is born." So we were talking about that at Christmas time. We don't know that we celebrate on the 25th. We don't know it was that date. But the fact of the matter is Jesus was born, and it was we date the year that we live in from the time of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God predicts here 700 years before Christ was born that he would be born into this world. And so he says, "Unto us a child is born." Now, this verse makes us think of Isaiah 7:14, which says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us." Now, God was preparing Israel for the teaching of the virgin birth. I know some Jewish people find this humorous, but Isaac was the son of Abraham, and it was a supernatural birth because Isaac was at the age where he could not have a child, or Sarah couldn't have a child. And so the whole nation of Israel was born supernaturally, and it was getting people ready for the fact of the supernatural birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to be born of a virgin. Jesus did not have a human father. God was his father. And the proof and evidence was the fact that he demonstrated that he was God by the incredible miracles that he did. Unto us a son is given. Now, some people teach that God did not have a son, but King David is a prophet also, and there's many places in the scripture where it talks about God having a son. And King David says that this, I will give the decree of the Lord, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, some people at this point have made a theological error, but it says that Jesus was begotten in a day and time, not in eternity. That is, Jesus took on a human body. The begotten refers to his life. It comes from monogenesis, which you see genes there. God put the genes in the womb of Mary, and so he was begotten. Some of the corrupt translations translate this one and only son. And once again, attack on the deity of Christ, attack on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Abraham begat Isaac. That is, the life of Abraham was in Isaac. And so the life of the Father was in Jesus, and the word is used begotten there in the true word of God. Now it says, unto us a son is given, and so it was the Son of God. And we just mentioned this already. And so God says in the book of Psalms that he has a son. And then it says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now it's God's plan for one day for Jesus to rule over Israel, but not over Israel, but over the whole planet. Now, when Jesus was born, the angel said to Mary, it says, he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob is referring to the Jewish people, and people that say that God is through with Israel, that is a direct contradiction of Scripture. And it's taught in many very clear-cut places. Jacob is not referring to Christians. Jacob is referring to Jews. And it says Jesus will rule over the house of Jacob, over the Jewish people, forever. That means that the Jewish nation will last forever, as the Bible teaches in many, many places. And so the devil could try to wipe them out, but it will be impossible. If the devil could wipe them out, then that would show that God is not in his heavens and the Bible is not true. But the devil never gives up, and he is attempting to wipe them out for that reason, but he never will. But it says, he will, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He will be ruler over Israel, but then he will be ruler over the whole world, according to many other passages of Scripture. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Well, if you know Jesus Christ, he is wonderful. What other person ever came and could turn a funeral into a resurrection, which he did over and over, and hundreds of thousands of people saw this. You know, when Jesus was taken before the Jewish Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, no one ever said that he didn't do the miracles. They had false witnesses, but no one ever denied that he raised people from the dead. Who could raise people from the dead but God himself? And he opened blind eyes. Whoever did that? People born blind. Every kind of a sickness and disease. He walked up to people with leprosy and touched them. And their skin came back like a new baby. So Jesus is wonderful. And if you're a child of God, if you're born again, he's wonderful. He's wonderful to me. He's taken care of me all of my life. He's given me contentment and peace and joy and answered prayer supernaturally. He's the great God. He's just wonderful. You know, he said he came to set the captives free. And no matter if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever you are, and there's plenty of people like that, and Jesus came into their life and took them off of it. He has set you free from any type of an addiction possible. He is wonderful. And then his counselor. And you know, people get into all kinds of trouble because they're listening to the media and there's pleasure in sin for a season, but it ends up in death. And here the devil has come to seek and to destroy people's lives. And people are dying by the thousands with drug addiction. They're not listening to Jesus. If they listen to Jesus, they wouldn't have it. Now, he's counselor. He gives advice, but it also can be referred to the fact that he's a lawyer. And the Bible says that Jesus will be one day our judge, and yet he is our lawyer. How do you like that? He's our lawyer, and he's our judge. My judge is my lawyer. My lawyer is my judge. And Jesus will say, as my lawyer, he says, yes, if the devil comes up and he says, Bruce did this, this, and this, and Jesus says, yes, but I paid for those sins 2,000 years ago when I died on the cross of Calvary, and he came to me, and he asked for mercy, and he accepted me and received me, and now I don't recognize that he has ever sinned. I have no record he has sinned. It's been wiped out by my blood. And then it says he is the mighty God. And you know, I think of all the different empires that have come and gone, and all the people, famous people, but they have all died. But Jesus, his light grows lighter and brighter every year that goes by, and one day he's going to brighten up the whole world as he comes back on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. And I think today all the people tried to stifle and tried to wipe out the gospel. And yet, I think in Russia, 70 years, they tried to do everything with the news media, the television, the newspapers, putting people in jail to wipe out the knowledge of Jesus. And after 7 years, Jesus says, time's up. And the leader of Russia comes out and says, this day we will celebrate the birthday of the Savior. Well, one day, despite what everybody in the world says, the whole world will be celebrating Jesus. Today, they don't want you to say Christmas because they don't like Jesus. Lights come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. But those carols are still out there praising the great God, the mighty God. Nobody's going to stop Jesus. Anybody that tries to stop him, they're a fool. They might as well try to clean out the Pacific Ocean with a teaspoon. Maybe if they can do that, they can get rid of Jesus. He is the mighty God, and he is the everlasting Father. He is a father to all those that put their faith in him. He loves them. He takes care of them. He knows your name. He died for you in your place. He says, no man can love somebody greater than that they give their life for them. And Jesus gave his life for you and was punished in your place. He was beaten in your place. He was spit on in your place. He was nailed to a cross in your place. And then he's called the Prince of Peace. Now, you know, the reason there's war today, people don't have peace in their heart. Their heart is a storm. And it's full of frustration and misery and anguish and unfulfilled desire. But when Jesus comes in, he brings peace. The storm stops. And he brings peace into your heart. But one day, he is going to bring peace to this whole world. And we're going to lay down our sword and shield down by the riverside. And we ain't going to study war no more, to put it very simply, when Jesus Christ comes back. Now it says in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And that is, his government is going to increase, and he is going to come back on the Mount of Olives and rule from Jerusalem, Israel, on Mount Zion. And it says, when the Lord builds up Zion in the book of Psalms, he will appear in his glory. And the next time he comes back, they're not going to beat him and they're not going to spit on him. He's coming back and the Mount of Olives is going to split right down the middle. And the whole world will see him at that time as he comes back and rule this planet from Jerusalem, Israel. It says, there shall be no end of the peace that he brings upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. That is, he is going to rule. He is going to be ascendant descendant of King David, and so Jesus was, and so the genealogies of David are traced in the Bible. He was descended from King David. The devil tried to wipe that line out all through the Old Testament, but Jesus won every single time, which shows his power. And so his kingdom will be no end, and his kingdom is going to be based on justice and judgment forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God's going to do this by his power. And it says, when the Lord builds up Zion, he will appear in his glory. Zion, Jerusalem, is built on Mount Zion and is being built up right now. And God is saying, I am coming back. And he will come back and take over this planet and rule for 1,000 years. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.